afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to the War Room. I'm your host, Harrison Smith, coming to you live this Monday afternoon. Hope everybody's doing well. Obviously, an absolutely chaotic and insane weekend here in America. We'll comment on all of it. We'll walk you through what exactly has happened, where we stand now. The latest is that, well, we'll get into it with the Daily Dispatch. We'll get into it with the Daily Dispatch, and we'll find out what the latest is and how much nothing the Trump administration plans on doing about it. Let's begin today, as we do every day, with our Daily Dispatch. All right, here it is, folks, your Daily Dispatch for Monday, the 26th of January, 2026. Tim Walz calls Trump, agrees to work with deportation agenda following pushback. On Monday, Minnesota Governor Tim Walz caved to President Donald Trump's deportation agenda. It now appears the failed Democrat vice presidential candidate will be surrendering the criminal aliens in his state that he's been harboring following a phone call with the president. We will again touch on this a little bit more. It's probably not a coincidence that this happened immediately after the signal chats were leaked, showing that basically everybody in Tim Walz's government was involved with the planning and organization of these riots. If justice is to be found, or if just we still have a touchstone on reality, this story should become one of the biggest stories in the century. Signal debacle backfires into organized crime. It's a special report from John Bowne. We'll go to in the next segment. Tim Walz is emboldened by what amounts to organized crime with badges and budgets. Cam Higby's infiltration of signal groups blew the lid off scandal in Minnesota. Signal chats are buzzing with anti-ICE operatives, and local police are complicit, cooperative even, with real-time access to national databases for tracking license plates, courtesy of law enforcement insiders. Shift changes are being leaked from within departments. So you have a signal chat that has, again, we'll get into it, but it's basically everybody in the Walz government is actively cooperating with and actually directing the rioters as to where to go. And they're using not just government time and government resources, but access to government databases to find out who their enemies are. Really, next level Civil War stuff. Will anything be done about it? Meanwhile, illegal immigrant arrested in Georgia after allegedly assaulting 11-year-old girl in her home, forced younger sister to watch attack. While the mainstream media breathlessly comes to the defense of those trying to thwart efforts to protect American citizens from violent illegals, they remain largely silent on the victims of illegal crime. Last week, the legacy media and liberal members of Congress made false claims about a viral case in Minnesota alleging that ICE targeted a 5-year-old child. In reality, the child was abandoned by his father, an illegal alien, while the father fled arrest. The story was plastered all over the MSM and pushed by Democrat politicians ad nauseum. Yet the legacy media and Democrats have been largely silent when a vulnerable American child is the victim of an illegal. The Statesboro Herald reported that in Bullock County, the Bullock County Sheriff's Office announced the arrest of Kenneth Morano Guzman, 26, on January 15th for allegedly invading a family's home on January 12th and raping an 11-year-old girl and holding her and her 10-year-old sister at knife point. So these are the people that everybody in Minneapolis is infuriated they're being arrested. These types of crimes that they're responsible for. As well as this one. What religion are you? Muslim stabs man for being Christian before being shot dead for attacking police. A Muslim man in Washington State reportedly asked Eddie Nitsch what religion he was and immediately began stabbing him with a knife when he revealed he was a Christian on Sunday. The attacker stabbed both the Christian man and his pet dog, putting the victim in serious condition at a nearby hospital and resulting in the dog getting emergency surgery. Just yet another horrific act of diversity. Our greatest strength. Finally, remains of the last Israeli hostages returned. Trump's Gaza peace plan moves to phase two. President Donald Trump, who orchestrated the Gaza peace plan, announced on Monday that the remains of the final Israeli hostage has been returned, accomplishing a key objective of Trump's multi-point plan to end hostilities between Israel and its neighbors. More on that as well as they are making their move and finalizing their annexation of the West Bank. Bye. Killing or expelling all of the Palestinians that live where Jesus was born, our greatest allies. Diversity, our greatest strength. Israel, our greatest ally. The things killing us. and gentlemen, you know the power of turmeric, but have you felt it? Have you tried the ultimate turmeric gummies? The delicious way to harness the ancient power of golden turmeric, supercharged with ginger root and black pepper for maximum impact. Each gummy delivers 125 milligrams of premium turmeric extract packed with curcumin, the clinically studied compound shown to support healthy inflammation response, ease everyday aches, and promote joint comfort so you can move through life with ease. We added real ginger root, trusted for centuries to calm digestion and soothe the stomach, plus a precise dose of black pepper extract with pepperine, proven to boost curcumin absorption by up to 2,000%. That means more of the good stuff actually gets where your body needs it. No capsules, no bitter aftertaste, just one tasty tropical-flavored gummy a day, or two if you're feeling extra, to help you feel lighter, looser, and more energized. Ultimate Turmeric Gummies, ancient wisdom meets modern science in the best-tasting form possible. Grab yours today and start feeling the ultimate difference in health with Ultimate Turmeric Gummies. Inflammation doesn't stand a chance. Get yours today at thealexjonesstore.com.
First and we can last. Keep your rifle by your side. Singing, oh Lord, this earth was made for us. Singing, oh Lord, this sinful life just ain't enough. So we'll take a stand, 'cause we must protect our land. Keep your rifle. Day and they'll come night, they'll have our children in their sights. But if they don't have faith, their eyes are blind.
They can scream and they can shout, but they can never smoke us out. Keep your rifle by your side.
Singing, oh Lord, this earth was made for us. Singing, oh Lord, this sinful life just ain't enough. When we hear the keep your rifle by your side.
They'll have bombs and they'll have tanks, 'cause they've got money in their banks. But we won't fall as long as we can fight.
They'll go on to reach their hate, but they won't get past the gate. Keep your rifle by your side. Singing, oh Lord, this earth.
Compilation for you there, put together just some of the last week or so of riots in Minneapolis, along with an accompanying song reminding you we are, in fact, in some sort of weird civil war where only one side is fighting. And it truly is bizarre. How many times have you seen images of rioters, protesters standing outside of a ICE facility with a line of ICE officers standing there? And all of the protesters are sitting there going, what are you going to do? You'll come out. Quit hiding back there. Come out here and fight. Sprinkled in with, of course, insult and curse words. And then eventually, at some point, usually like on the hour, the Border Patrol just goes, all right, let's do this. Pop, pop, flashbangs, tear gas, run out, grab a couple people, just stomp a couple people. Like, it really is just the image of the chihuahua barking and snarling and snapping at the pit bull that's on a chain. That's where we're at. These delusional people literally threatening and challenging people who they could never stand up against, but feeling empowered by the delusion that informs their actions. It is crazy. It really is. But it's not unprecedented. It's not exactly like this is some sort of new, you know, epic in human history that we haven't seen this before. We've actually seen this a couple times. And I want to go to a video here, and we're going to take your calls in the third hour. I plan to cover everything that's happened over the weekend in Minneapolis, including the shooting, of course, of the nurse with the gun. We'll investigate that a little. I mean, but it's all pretty simple. There's not too much really to get into. It's not all that complicated. We are going to be spending a lot of time on the Signal chat today, but the people in Minnesota, the government in Minnesota, is utterly and completely corrupt, depends entirely on a flow of illegal immigration and the scam money that they funnel to their political activism. And they're in a state of insurrection, and the federal government is refusing to put it down. Like, it's really not that complicated at all. This is nothing new. We've seen this over and over again. And it really does feel like the Republicans are just in on it and are just happy to allow this feedback loop to continue. And that is a retarded, to the point of being suicidal, point of view. So I want to go to a video here. And as I was watching Alex Jones and Sam Tripoli in the last couple hours on the Alex Jones Show, and then Sam taking over in the last hour, they, of course, are talking a lot about history and keep referring to what we're experiencing now as a Bolshevik revolution. And I want you to know that this isn't hyperbole. This isn't, you know, just something where it's like, oh, you know, we're going to pay for kids' lunches at school. And people are like, the communists at it again. What I'm describing is a reign of terror. What I'm describing is the thing that happened in the French Revolution and then the Russian Revolution and probably would have happened in the German false revolution, the revolution of 1918, that didn't succeed because you had like one or two German army commanders that without orders just decided to march on the protesters. But every time the same thing happens, you have infiltrators, foreigners, a lot of times getting into positions of power, using their positions in academia and in the media to create unrest, create, you know, frustration with the ruling order. And hell, some of the frustration is real. Some of it is justified, but it's weaponized and it's used to create, you know, riotous conditions. And then the activity of the ruling power, the actual authority that's being overthrown, they basically have their hands tied by a bunch of bureaucratic restrictions, a bunch of, well, do we really want to do this? And gee, it may look bad if you really crack down on this right now. And in history, either the powers that be, the, you know, legitimate authorities allow themselves to have their hands tied, in which case you go through a communist revolution and hundreds of millions of people potentially die, or you have individuals, and it is almost always on an individual basis, stand up against the unrest, stand up against the overthrow of the authorities by force. This is what happened in Germany in 1918. You actually had, you know, commanders of army barracks just decide, hey, these communists have taken over a city hall. Screw that. Let's go get them. And they just go and they just flush them out and kill the ones who resist. That's how you stop a communist revolution. It's the only way. It's what Franco did too. Every single time this happened. Same thing happened in Italy, rise of Mussolini. I mean, it's just like a fact of reality at this point. Only the communists who carry out these revolutions, same people, same ideology that's happening right now, have learned through these, you know, iterative revolutions. And now they have made sure to have basically full command of the lawful authority before they even launched the revolution. And that's essentially where we're at. So again, time and time again, this has happened. So I want to go back now. I want to revisit 1917 and the communist revolution that overthrew Russia, because we're in a very similar situation now, like a shockingly similar situation. And part of it is that the ruling elite of Russia in 1916 and before weren't exactly the nicest people. You know, there were things to complain about, and people did complain. And I feel like we're in that same situation now, where even now we have like libertarians and you know, people on the right, strangely all non-Christians. I've noticed this. There's like a divide on right-wing conservatives. If people are like outspokenly and openly Christian, they're in favor of just like cracking down on the riots. But people who are atheists aren't. It's very strange. It's kind of interesting. I just noticed this. And there are people I like. I'm not even criticizing. Like Dave Smith, Clint Russell, both atheist libertarians, both kind of getting cold feet about the whole ICE thing because some guy decided to commit suicide by cop. Whereas you got people like Matt Walsh, people with Daily Wire, just being like, what the hell? No, this is a revolution. We need to crush it. I don't know what that, you know, indicates, but regardless, you've got people that are like, well, you know, the system's kind of messed up now. And, oh, you think that the feds are good now just because they're going after illegal immigrants? It's like, guys, I know the Fed is not great. I know the United States government has been taken over by evil to a very large degree. But I also know what happens next. And I feel like if this was Imperial Russia, I'd be saying exactly the same thing. This is Matt Walsh. This ICE situation is really complex. My take is more nuanced. I want our immigration laws to be enforced, but I just want them to do it without using any force and without anyone ever getting hurt and without anything sad or upsetting happening ever. And if the people we're trying to deport don't want to be deported, or if liberal activists don't want us to deport them, then obviously in that case, we shouldn't do it. But I'm totally a conservative on the issue, unless people get really mad at me. And then never mind. Please don't yell at me. I'm sorry. I'm so sorry. Yeah, we'll get into the psychology behind this, but I really do just want to go to this video. This is clip number 11. This is an idealistic Russian describing the grim realities of revolution. It's a diary of a man named Pyotr Sorokin. He was there in Russia watching the revolution unfold in real time. He was a moderate, didn't really land on either side, but just observed what happened. And this whole video is about 23 minutes, and I went into it to be like, oh, I'm going to cut out some pertinent spots, and the whole thing is pertinent. So we'll just start at the top, and I'll interrupt and interject. But you're not going to need me to. It's obvious the parallels that we're seeing here, and it's kind of haunting hearing this guy talk about the French Revolution and saying, "Gee, it looks like we're sort of going through that same thing." Then here I am, a century later, looking at the Russian Revolution, going, "Gee, it sure looks like we're going through the same thing." History rhymed, right? It repeats itself in certain ways. And the cool thing about human beings is we have the ability to project into the future possible outcomes and then change our behavior to get the outcome that we want. So right now, we, like the Russians in 1917, are on the precipice of a bloody and terrible revolution. And we can choose to go an alternative route and not allow the reign of terror to begin, or we can fall into the same pattern that the French took during the revolution or the Russians took during that revolution. And we can allow our entire system to be taken over by literal mutants, psychopath, criminal scum. So I guess that's our choice we have to make. Let's go to clip 11 now. Here is an eyewitness to the Russian Revolution about what it looked like in the few days preceding it. Let's watch. Leaves from a Russian diary and 30 years after Pyotr M.
Keeping
a
diary
Sorokin.
Is a childish habit, but this childish habit may now be worthwhile, even to a serious man. It is clear we are now entering the storm of revolution. At a meeting yesterday of deputies, politicians, scholars, and writers, even the most conservative man talked about the coming revolution as a certainty. Counts and barons, landlords and businessmen all applauded scathing criticisms of the government and acclaimed the approaching revolution. These men, weary, effeminized, accustomed to lives of comfort, calling for revolution, presented a curious spectacle. Like heedless children, they manifested a curiosity and a joy in meeting such an interesting development. I had a vision of the French ruling classes before the 18th century revolution. Like these Russians, their emasculated aristocracy too greeted the storm with laughter, not reflecting that it might rob them of their property and even of their lives.
All right, we can pause right there again, just from the top. Here we are, 100 years later, looking back at a revolution that descended into bloody terror, listening to a diary of a man who is reflecting on a revolution 100 years earlier that descended into bloody pogroms, not knowing or knowing but not being able to stop the fact that they were engaged in that same feedback loop, that they were starting their journey down the same slope into hell. And it just feels like we're watching some sort of bizarro time mirror. It's like a feminized leadership not taking the threat seriously, thinking, well, there are some legitimate concerns they have, though, and we should, you know, hear them out, not understanding that they were literally loading the gun that would be used against them. Can we learn from history? Do we have the ability? The people in Russia failed to, and 100 million of them paid the price, and they still haven't fully recovered. And that was with a continent of Europe and America being resolutely arrayed against them and fighting against them economically and militarily across the entire world. What is it going to look like if the last bastion of freedom, America, goes down this route? Is there any relief? It took 70, 80 years for the USSR to eventually collapse under the weight of its own stupidity. And that was, again, with half the world arrayed against it. What happens if they get a hold of America? Who stands up for us? Nobody. All right, back to the video.
Do you think that the guillotine will be necessary for us also in the near future? Asked one of my students in the Workers' University of Petrograd. I do not know, I replied, but I am certain that if you contemplate the guillotine for your enemies, the same guillotine will cut off your head a little later. The guillotine always kills first the well-fed, but later on it gets to the poor also. Do not forget this. It may be useful to you if revolution really comes. Street demonstrations of poor women and children demanding bread and herrings, eternal voice of all revolutions, had previously led to the looting of one or two shops, but today the demonstration became larger and noisier. The rioters today stopped tram cars, turning over some of them, plundering a good many shops and even attacking policemen. Many workmen have joined the women and a general strike and great excitement resulted. After the wrecking of the trams, something more important may next be overthrown. The Tsar's throne, for instance.
All right, so let's pause it. So again, this was written before the revolution had even really kicked off, right? He's saying if there is going to be a revolution, or people think that there's going to be a revolution, he was already in a revolution. That's the things he needed to understand and we need to understand. If you're at the point where they're, you know, knocking over tram cars, attacking police, and tearing down statues, again, symbols in every single revolution that we are also living through, it means you're already in it. So all of these diary entries saying, if revolution comes, guess what, buddy? You're already ankle deep and the water's rising. Okay, that's where we are at this point. Do you understand? And of course, the absurdity of America, of the American Revolution, as it's the second revolution, the communist revolution they're trying to put us through right now, Bolshevik Revolution 2.0, is at least the Bolsheviks were like, we just want bread and fish. Can you just give us some dried herring so we don't die? And it's like, all right, a little bit better of a complaint than illegal immigrants that we broke the law to bring in here are being expelled. So, you know, the little, you know, we got some similarities, also some differences. Nobody in America is begging for milk and herrings, right? So, but, you know, they also have suffered under a century of poison and destroying our bodies and minds. So, you know, maybe the Russians were a little bit better off in a lot of ways, too. Let's go back to the video now.
If future historians look for the group that began the Russian Revolution, let him not create any involved theory. The Russian Revolution was begun by hungry women and children demanding bread and herrings. Only later did they, together with workmen and politicians, become ambitious to wreck that mighty edifice, the Russian autocracy. It goes steadily on. Yesterday, three men and one woman were killed. Today, more. The orderly routine of life is broken. Shops and offices are closed. In the university, instead of lectures, political meetings are held. Newspapers appear irregularly. Revolution has pushed one foot over the threshold of my country. Today, the same. Crowds on the Nevsky Prospect are larger. The police are idle and irresolute. One hears that even the Cossacks have refused to disperse the crowds. This means that the government is helpless and their machine broken. Rioters have begun to kill policemen. The Pavlovsky Regiment is in revolt. We are told that the Minister of the Interior is recruiting special squads of police and is equipping them with machine guns to be placed on rooftops for merciless suppression of demonstrations. This half-mad paralytic can do...
We've got similarities and differences here. Let's pause it again. Similarities, obviously, starting with, you know, real... Although, again, ours is a little bit different, because at least there, they start with real concerns. We want herring and fish, fish and bread, please. And it's like, okay. That, you know, maybe at that point, you could have, like, put a damper on the whole thing by just, like, giving them food. Maybe that would have been a solution. Now, maybe there wasn't food to give them, in which case... you're sort of out of luck. But then the real problem comes when a legitimate concern like basic hunger gets joined up by politicians and activists and union leaders who see this as an opportunity to, you know, foment outrage, not because they actually care about the people who are hungry, but because they want to use that hunger as a benefit to their ideology. Again, it's different here because people protesting in America are very well fed. Just very stupid. What they're protesting against is literally an invasion of foreigners and rapists and murderers being arrested. Complete and utter nonsense. But what do you see the response from the police are? Total inaction? Even the Cossacks, you know, wouldn't do anything about it. You have entire battalions defecting basically to the side of the rioters. And we are in this process. We have already started it. 1 foot in the revolution. How do you crack down on it? How do you deal with this? Now, again, the Russians thought, well, we'll just put in machine guns and just, you know, murder all the people. Well, that didn't really work. And nobody in America is even suggesting that. Although I'm certain fantasizing about it quite a bit. Not that I think it's a right thing to do. Just a fun thing. Just do what would have been fun, I think. These people. But you can't just crush this type of thing out of sheer brute force. But you can... identify the leaders. You can identify the training seminars. You could go through, like, if you were the Russian aristocracy, what would you do differently? I'd probably give them the food and fish, first off. Seems like a reasonable request, personally. Now, what the people in America today are requesting is not reasonable. It's completely insane. And they can't be given what they want. What they want is the literal dilution of our entire federal government. No, that's just not going to happen. So we can't do that. You also can't mount a machine gun on the corner and murder everybody. But certainly you don't allow this snowball to continue to roll. You don't allow the universities to continue to be used as lecture halls, radicalizing all of the people that are now making a job out of resisting you. Well, let's go back for the final minute here.
The end is very near, or it is only the beginning. This video has been kindly supported by Surfshark.
I actually should shout out, I was trying to find what the, I think it's Voices from the Past, I believe is the name of that YouTube channel. I didn't want to credit them. Voices of the Past. So again, you can, we've already done it where we looked into, you know, what was happening with the October Revolution, 1918 in Germany. And luckily it was prevented by a bunch of, again, random battalion leaders just deciding on their own to go shut down the demonstrations, and that probably saved Germany from becoming communist down the line. But when I look at what's going on now, I don't see, you know, a divided populace with a bunch of people in power holding the line. I see something more like the 1917 Russian Revolution, and that's very troubling.
Ladies and gentlemen, Nitric Boost, the all-time fan favorite, is now back in stock at InfoWarsStore.com.
You've looked at our formula. You like it?
I did, and I do. Yes. Well, nitric oxide is a key. It's made by our own bodies again. It's made by L-citrulline and L-arginine, the amino acids.
And now, a major shipment has finally come back in for those of you that want to be able to stock up on it at InfoWarsStore.com. Ladies and gentlemen, Dr. Judy Mikovits, without me even knowing she'd gotten it and used it, came on years ago and said, This was the best spike protein detoxer she'd found.
Just like you want your own body to make vitamin D from the sunlight, you can't force it back in people who can't make it. It can actually hurt them. It's called peroxynitrites. So you want to boost your own body's ability. The nitric oxide relaxes the endothelium, the vasculature. It relaxes the vein. So I use the two, your InfoWars. I keep that on my shelf, and I feed myself the Cardio Miracle, which is just for straight food. It's a different formulation than that one. And the two together are a 1-2 punch. So you get in your food the ability to make what you need and no more.
Because of the organic-based compounds that are in it that cause vasodilation in the blood vessels, in the arteries, in the veins, in the capillaries. And it just does so many other great things.
So constricted blood vessels too, because athletes are running, they're constricted, they're working so that the blood flows and it doesn't flow, which is why your nitric oxide product, that new product, I hope you'll show it, because that's a very important thing to have for acute events. Dissolve under the tongue, give you an instant relaxing of your endothelium, your vasculature.
Now listen, it is already a nationwide best-selling bodybuilding product for over 20 years. Bodybuilders take it as it helps grow muscles and better workouts and things. I was just researching and wanting to put something out that was good for the heart and talked to a lot of scientists and researchers on it, and they said, well, these are the type of ingredients we were thinking about putting out a product. When I talked to formulators, they said, well, we actually already have a product that has that, so we private labeled it as Nitric Boost. And just for men in the morning when you wake up, that's the big thing people feel and see right away. So imagine what else it's doing for your body. So for those of you that love Nitric Boost, it's back in stock right now at InfoWarsStore.com. And for those that haven't tried Nitric Boost, you are really missing out. Secure your Nitric Boost right now at InfoWarsStore.com. We're battling in the courts. We're still here a year after the Onion said they bought us. We might actually hold on and win. But regardless, the shopping cart's there, the shipments are going out, and you will get your product. But if you don't order it and support us, we'll be off the air. So it's a paradox. So please take action now at InfoWarsStore.com and experience Nitric Boost for yourself. And listen, men feel it in that one way. Women love it as well. It's good for men and women. Get your Nitric Boost now, right now, exclusively at InfoWarsStore.com. And thanks for being the reason one way or another we'll always be on the air. InfoWarsStore.com, Nitric Boost, back in stock.
Welcome to the Great Reset. Eat the bugs. You will own nothing, and you will be happy. Take the vaccine. Trust the science. Get your booster.
Every crisis is an opportunity, and the world will be reshaped in our vision.
Down with the globalist. Get ultramethylene red at thealexjonesstore.com.
If you are receiving this transmission, you are the resistance.
All right, welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. Minneapolis, once again, becomes the focus of our attention as the ongoing insurrection takes on new and incredible dimensions. But don't worry, folks. I mean, we know Tim Walz, Jacob Frey, Keith Ellison, they were all caught pretty much with their hand in their cookie jar with the largest examples of fraud against the American government ever recorded happening, not just under their watch, but with their active participation in some cases. And they've been in a state of insurrection for the last couple of months now at this point. But don't worry, folks. The Trump administration is taking it seriously. They're not going to just let this happen with their hands tied behind their back. They're not just going to lay down while Tim Walz and his criminal buddies start a second American Civil War just to cover up their ridiculous fraud, okay? Pam Bondi has sent a letter. Let's go to clip number 9.
suicide, rape, homicide, manslaughter. That's who they're trying to protect in Minnesota. I do not understand these people. We sent Governor Walz a very strong letter today. We had been working on this letter. We got it out saying that he better support President Trump. He better support the men and women in law enforcement, because if he doesn't, we are. And that's what we're doing right now.
Were there any consequences in this letter?
Well, we'll see. This is fluid. Let's see how Governor Walz responds. Let's see what he does based on this, based on what's happening right now. But this administration is going to support the citizens. We're going to support our great men and women in law enforcement.
Yes, exactly. Just like I support the Houston Texans, right? Sort of in theory. It's kind of like, yeah, I want them to do well. That's, you know, I support them. I don't help them in any way. I don't do anything for them. But like, sure, in sort of a theoretical way, my heart is with them. And that's sort of the support that the Trump administration is talking about. What more could you possibly need? Like, at this point, I mean, we really don't even need to rehash it over and over. I don't need to do it every single day. But it's a persistent issue. I mean, it's the same thing that we've been dealing with for the last little while here. It's just insane that this is going on. And that the people who are doing it in the positions of authority in Minneapolis are caught on a signal chat organizing this stuff, the same signal chat that allegedly both of the people who died fighting ICE were in, being instructed where to go, being trained to put their bodies in harm's way to try to de-arrest activists or basically just fighting ICE. I'm incapable of expressing the disappointment I feel in the Trump administration. The English language does not have words for it. I think maybe if you, like, you know, some of the tapes that they used, you know, like in Waco, they kept everybody awake by playing audio recordings of like rabbits being tortured. You can look that sound up. That's basically what my soul sounds like right now when I think about the Trump administration and how thoroughly they are losing our last opportunity to save this country and how they're seemingly doing it on purpose. And at this point, it's clear they just have no idea what they're doing, or they really are in on it. I really don't know. But like Trump writes this letter yesterday where he's like, here are my demands to Tim Walz. Turn over all of the illegal alien criminals and help ICE. It's like, does anybody even care about ICE at this point? Like, it's so much bigger than arresting illegal aliens at this point. What are we talking about? You have a governor, a mayor, an attorney general of a state, all of their underlings engaged in an active insurrection against the lawful authority in this country. And you're telling them it'll all go away if they just do what they should have been doing the entire time? Okay, just obey the law as you're obliged to do, that you took your oath doing, and we'll let all of this stuff go away. And of course, the insane thing is that they're not going to take that offer. They don't care. I mean, it's just pathetic. Honestly, it's just pathetic and sad and cowardly. I think Trump might just be a coward. The end of the day. And like a lot of people have said this in a lot of different ways. I think this post by Orrin McIntyre sums it up, and it just, you know, again, you can read people saying this in one sentence, people saying it in multiple pages. But if you don't understand this core concept, you don't understand what world we're in. You don't understand the battle that we're fighting. This is what Orrin McIntyre says. People seem not to understand the stakes, so let me help you out. We already had tens of millions of illegals, and Biden let in at least 8 million more in 4 years. They have, the left have openly declared their intention to replace the population and make elections irrelevant. Redistricting, demographic transformation, judicial capture, the left will own every lever necessary to control, quote, democracy in perpetuity. Don't get me started on what they'll do to you personally once in power. They understand the stakes and are willing to kill and die for this. If the GOP loses the midterms, the Dems will lock them in eternal impeachment proceedings and investigations. This is it. This is the battle. This is the last chance to save the country before the only remaining options are extreme. Whatever violence you're seeing now is a Care Bears episode compared to what will follow if we don't win. These are times that try men's souls and sunshine patriots have gone away. Lock in. There are no other options. And you can dislike that. You can dislike the rain. You still got to carry an umbrella, right? You can dislike that this is the position that we're in. You could wish that we could just really convince the left to think about it for once. And they'll all decide, you know, we are acting silly, aren't we? I guess they were right about the Second Amendment and the First Amendment. Let's stop being insane jackass. Like, no, it's just, that's never going to happen. You just have to defeat these people. Meanwhile, apparently Trump and Ted Cruz are like cursing at each other because Ted Cruz is trying desperately to get more H-1B visas for India. And it's just like, can we do anything to put a stop to this? This is a literal overthrow of our entire country. We are going into a communist revolution, and the people with the authority to stop it are cowards. They seem to be utter cowards. So this is what happened today. DC Drano says, what a coincidence that Tim Walz called President Trump to work together on the riots only after the Signalgate chats were exposed. The rope is tightening on Minnesota fraud. Oh, is it? Is it tightening? Great. Is it around anybody's neck? Because otherwise, it's just tightening to no end. Oh, well, the rope is tightening. Okay. Does it have anybody inside of the loop that is tightening? Or is it just sort of in a vague way, in a theoretical way, tightening? Nothing's happening. There's nothing to wait for. What are we waiting for? What are we waiting for? What more could you possibly need? I'll go to the John Bowne report here about the Signalgate controversy, the scandal, the new Signalgate, not the Signalgate where Israel is trying to outpeed Hegseth to send us to war to Iran. The new Signalgate where the local politicians, operatives, attorney generals, everybody in Minnesota is engaged in an open insurrection against the federal government. Here's what Donald Trump posted today. Governor Tim Walz called me with the request to work together with respect to Minnesota. It was a very good call, and we actually seem to be on a similar wavelength. I told Governor Walz that I would have Tom Homan call him and that what we are looking for are any and all criminals that they have in their possession. The governor very respectfully understood that, and I will be speaking to him in the near future. He was happy that Tom Homan was going to Minnesota, and so am I. We've had such tremendous success in Washington, D.C., Memphis, Tennessee, and New Orleans, Louisiana, and virtually every other place that we've touched, and even in Minnesota. Crime is way down, but both Governor Walz and I want to make it better. Donald J. Trump. Okay, well, Governor Walz just called you Hitler, and then an insane activist bit off a federal officer's finger during a fight. So maybe less exclamation points next time, young lady. I talked to Tim Walz, and he's really excited about having Tom Homan come. We agree. He also thinks that illegal immigrants need to go away. It's like, what I want to see is Donald Trump post a pixelated picture of the American flag as news reports start rolling in about the raid on Tim Walz and how he has been whisked off to parts unknown. He's being held in a detention center that's not on any official forms. Like, I want Trump to treat the un-American insurrectionist with just a fraction of the fervor, the hate, the malice that he feels for like generals in Iran or the president of Venezuela. Why he doesn't? I don't know. Nobody can answer that. Nobody knows. Let's go to that special report. This is John Bowne put together a report for the Signal story, which again, any other time period, we had a real country, if we had a real media, no mainstream media outlet has even reported on this yet. Okay, if you search Signalgate right now, Pete Hegseth stuff still comes up. The New York Times, the Washington Post. Despite the fact that an independent reporter found incontrovertible proof that this insurrection activity that has already left at least two people dead is being organized by the local government. Let's watch.
Creating a log of evidence for the future prosecution of ICE agents and officials responsible for this.
Tim Walz is emboldened by what amounts to organized crime with badges and budgets.
We've got a couple groups on the app Signal that we would love for you to join. Whether or not you want to be a part of the resistance network, I fully understand that you may not be comfortable with that. But if you see any suspicious vehicles, any traffic, if you know of anybody that is being targeted, that's being detained, we have resources immediately available.
Independent journalists and undercover ops have cracked open encrypted Signal chats used by radical left networks to dox, stalk, harass, and straight up impede federal ICE agents during the ongoing immigration enforcement chaos in Minneapolis and St. Paul. Cam Higby's infiltration of these groups blew the lid off.
This is John 612, that we are at Grand and Lake. We're heading toward Irving. We can try and join you.
Signal chats are buzzing with anti-ICE operatives, and local police are complicit, cooperative even, with real-time access to national databases for tracing license plates, courtesy of law enforcement insiders, as well as shift changes leaked from within departments.
And quit referring to these people as law enforcement. They are not law enforcement. We have law enforcement who do an incredible job.
Anita Smithson, dispatcher in the Ice Watch chats, Minnesota State Senate candidate, BLM supporter, Indivisible Minnesota member, and a big Walz Ilhan Omar backer. She is allegedly using her U.S. bank risk management job for potential access to license plate databases to aid doxing. The chats coordinate rapid response ambushes on federal officers, share real-time locations and personal info, all while tying directly into state-level political operatives.
We just got this message, and it says, we know that you're in Minneapolis, you're with O'Keefe and his crew of Nazis, you're in a white Ford license plate, they actually wrote the license plate down from Florida, you have 1 hour to leave or you're dead.
Peggy Flanagan, Minnesota Lieutenant Governor, allegedly exposed as Flan or Flan Southside in the chats.
Show up and use your voice. Put your body on the line. Put your body on the line.
Amanda Kohler, Tim Walz campaign strategist and protest organizer, identified as a top administrator in the MN Ice Watch Signal Group, training rioters in tactics like salute, a strategy straight out of the Ice Watch playbook for obstructing agents.
I want to move my car!
No.
I am disabled! I have a brain injury!
Kohler's LinkedIn brags about her ties to Monarca, an Ice Watch offshoot listed as a resource on the Minnesota government website under the Office of Ombudsperson for Families, no less. John Otte, media press figure allegedly participating in the Signal groups, highlights coordination between activists and journalists to shape narratives around the protests and incidents.
We're not ICE. Why are you guys following us?
We're following them because they were following us.
Well, you look suspicious as
speculative ties at this point keep swirling around Governor Tim Walz himself as the alias Boogie. Broader allegations point to dozens more State House Senate representatives, gang members, and even media embeds in these networks. This isn't some fringe chat. It's allegedly a coordinated effort blending government insiders, campaign staff, Antifa elements, and media to obstruct federal operations. These claims suggest state-level involvement in protest networks. These are not organic protests. They are a desperate, highly coordinated, state-level weaponized resistance protecting massive fraud.
Over 80% of the Somalia households receive some form of public assistance. Many of them are on welfare. So your first question is, if they're on welfare, how are they getting millions of dollars to send back to the homeland? Number one. Number two, if they're on welfare, why do they need childcare? They're not working outside of the home. Why would there be this number of Somalia childcare centers?
If the feds move, we're looking at sedition level fallout that could collapse the Minnesota DFL or Democratic Farmer Labor Party machine overnight. John Bound reporting for InfoWars.
Make sure to find and share that video at band.video and on X. It's shared, of course, on John Bound's account as well as at Real Alex Jones and at Real InfoWars. Please do be following us. And that's just, I mean, to try to put everything that's happened so far into a single report, John Bound does an amazing job. But it's almost like if you're not already following this, like, how do you explain everything that's happening? You know, he shows a clip of the guy, you know, following the other person. But like that alone, it's worth an hour explaining, like, what the hell is going on? How do you have people who are protesting ICE for being tyrannical driving around and demanding that innocent people that they simply, you know, suspect of doing things, demand that they, you know, show ID and prove that they're not ICE? I mean, the quote unquote protesters have literally violated more civil rights than ICE has at this point. That's not even an exaggeration. So, of course, basically everybody in the Minnesota government was in on this. New York Post actually has a story about it. The far left network that helped put Alex Priddy in harm's way, the man who was shot by ICE. And we haven't gotten a ton of details about it. Obviously, there are a bunch of angles in the video. I think what happened was he had that gun that goes off by itself, and that SIG 320 or whatever it is. And like, people have looked into it. That's what it looks like to me, is the one officer disarmed him, and then maybe that gun just went off without the trigger being pulled, which is a, you know, regular problem. Which also means that this Alex Priddy guy probably didn't know what he was doing with guns. Why would you buy that one? But here's what the article says. The skirmish that led to Saturday's fatal shooting of an agitator by Border Patrol agents in Minneapolis and the response that followed were driven by a complex network of far-left organizations with a wide range of causes. A coordinated web of encrypted chats, street alerts, and tracking of ICE abductors in a sophisticated database shows that agitators were already mobilized at the scene where 37-year-old Alex Priddy was killed minutes before any shots were fired. ICE and Border Patrol agents were there to arrest an illegal immigrant criminal, and Priddy and others were there outside a donut shop to meet them as part of a strategic pattern of organized interference with law enforcement operations. Now, I know you know all of this. Like, if you're watching this show, you probably know all of this already. But let's make one thing perfectly, undeniably clear. What I just described was not, in any way and by any definition, a protest. Do you understand that? These are not protests. Nothing that's happening in Minneapolis is a protest. You know, words have definitions. Protest is free speech. Protest is when you go somewhere and you protest. You make your position known. The minute that your activity becomes interfering with law enforcement, it is not a protest anymore. It's just not. And it's not really a riot either. It's something else entirely. It's just criminal activity. Let me read it again. ICE and Border Patrol agents were going to arrest an illegal alien. An illegal immigrant criminal, been tried and convicted for, you know, pretty heinous crimes. But these people were there already set up, you know, probably got alerts from inside ICE to be there before ICE even arrived, to meet them as part of a strategic pattern of organized interference with law enforcement operations. Okay, I don't know if I need to tell you this. The First Amendment does not say that the people of America have an inalienable right to go fight the cops, to go interfere with lawful activity. You have a right to protest. This is not this is something else entirely. And it's not you're not even pretending to be protesters. So we don't have to treat this like it's a protest. Do you understand? It's literally not a protest. I wish we could get that into our heads. that the minute you go to interfere with law enforcement activity, you abandon all First Amendment protection. Because that's not what you're doing anymore. I hadn't seen that one yet. Nothing like watching a 400-pound person move. Nothing like watching them run. Really good to see. Anyway, I think we need to understand this. None of this is happening under the guise of First Amendment protected activity. They're not even pretending that it is. They're just organizing to riot, to attack cops, to interfere with law enforcement activity. Like, at least Black Lives Matter carried signs when they were rioting. Sure, they were burning down bookstores, but, you know, at least they were, some of them were marching, right? You know, the core contingent that was marching up and down the street waving signs to at least give the appearance of a legitimate protest, while a huge number of them just ran around tearing statues down and burning things. But at least they pretended. These people are not pretending. This is why the whole thing is ridiculous to me. None of this is protest. None of this is protest. Going up and fighting the cops, trying to de-arrest somebody, is not a protest activity. But again, we're dealing with people who are delusional, who are living in a delusional world. Don't do anything stupid. Alex, is it pretty or pretty? I haven't even heard this pronounced yet. I'm going to say pretty. Saying pretty is... Anyway, Alex Pretty's parents warned son not to cause trouble while protesting. The parents of slain anti-ICE activist Alex Pretty, who was shot and killed during a confrontation with federal agents Saturday, said they'd warned their son to be careful while protesting, warning him to keep his distance and, quote, not do anything stupid. Speaking to the Associated Press, Pretty's father, Michael Pretty, said his son was deeply upset over President Donald Trump's deportation policies and he'd participated in demonstrations following the ICE shooting of Renee Good earlier this month. Quote, he cared about people deeply, and he was very upset with what was happening in Minneapolis and throughout the United States with ICE, as millions of other people are upset. Pretty's dad told the AP he felt that doing the protesting was a way to express that, you know, his care for others. Well, it would have been if he'd protested. That would have been a great way to show that. That's not what he did. He showed up as a trained Antifa militant to try to physically assault ICE officers with a handgun that likely went off and caused his death, so he shouldn't have been there in the first place. There's no legitimate reason for him to be there in the first place. He was not protesting. There was no protest going on. It was just a law enforcement action to arrest a criminal and some dude showing up and trying to stop them with a gun. So you expect me to feel sorry for this person? We'll get into more on the other side. There's a lot more to get into. Stay with us. I do want to remind you, right now we have a brand new product on thealexjonesstore.com, Mind Fuel Nootropic Energy Shot. Plus, you get free atomic defense since we're dropping Mind Fuel. Mind Fuel is the new nootropic energy shot built for focus, drive, and performance when you need to lock in. Maybe I need one.
Ladies and gentlemen, Nitric Boost, the all-time fan favorite, is now back in stock at InfoWarsStore.com.
You've looked at our formula. You like it?
I did, and I do. Yes. Well, nitric oxide is a key. It's made by our own bodies again. It's made by L-citrulline and L-arginine, the amino acids.
Ladies and gentlemen, Dr. Judy Mikovits, without me even knowing she'd gotten it and used it, came on years ago and said this was the best spike protein detoxer she'd found.
So you want to boost your own body's ability. The nitric oxide relaxes the endothelium, the vasculature. It relaxes the vein. So I use the two, your InfoWars. I keep that on my shelf. And I feed myself the Cardio Miracle, which is just for straight food. It's a different formulation than that one. And the two together are a 1-2 punch. So you get in your food the ability to make what you need and no more.
It is already a nationwide best-selling bodybuilding product for over 20 years. Bodybuilders take it as it helps grow muscles and better workouts and things. So for those of you that love Nitric Boost, it's back in stock right now at InfoWarsStore.com. And for those that haven't tried Nitric Boost, you are really missing out. Secure your Nitric Boost right now at InfoWarsStore.com. We're battling in the courts. We're still here. A year after the Onion said they bought us, We might actually hold on and win. But regardless, the shopping cart's there, the shipments are going out, and you will get your product. But if you don't order it, supporters will be off the air. So please take action now at InfoWarsStore.com and experience Nitric Boost for yourself. It's good for men and women. Get your Nitric Boost now, right now, exclusively at InfoWarsStore.com. And thanks for being the reason one way or another we'll always be on the air. InfoWarsStore.com, Nitric Boost, back in stock.
If you are receiving this transmission, you are the resistance.